Since 1937, the lights of spiritual guidance purpose has been to proclaim Jesus Christ as he brings light into a darkened world. So glad you chose to join us today, and I trust the program will be a blessing to you as you listen to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning. As we enter into this Thanksgiving season, it's a wonderful reminder, God is faithful. And as I reflect back over the year 2024, certainly I can say God has been faithful. so thankful for you, the listening audience. Thank you for listening today. And I do covet your prayers, as during the month of November, I'm in revival meetings, November 1 to 3, Sunman, Indiana, at the First Southern Baptist Church. And then November 8 to 10, I'll travel to North Carolina to the Wesleyan Church in Gold Hill, North Carolina. And then November 17 to 20, I'll be at Syncree Church of the Nazarene in Florin, Louisiana. And then finish out the month, November 24, Bell Fountain, Ohio, at the First Church of God. So I do covet your prayers as I am involved in these revival meetings. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for our listening audience. So much for which to be thankful as we enter into this Thanksgiving season. And I pray that you would be with those who are listening to my voice today that might have a special physical need. For those who have a spiritual need as well, I pray that you would minister to them wherever they might be this morning. I'm so grateful for your love in our lives, for your grace and your mercy. I give you praise for it. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending your Son, Jesus, for the wonderful work and ministry of the Holy Spirit, for the inspired Word of God that we have that guides us and directs us and instructs us. Thank you, Father, for this radio program that's been on the air now for these 87 years. And I pray that you would bless this ministry as it continues today. I ask all of this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Well, it occurs to me that as we have progressed through the year 2024, we have lost some supporters, and that's due to them going home to be with the Lord. So thankful for those who do come on board and help us out with the radio program financially. And if you can help us, it would mean so much. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or go to our website, lomanministries.org, and you can give through Venmo or PayPal. Hope you'll consider doing that. Pray about it. It would mean so much. May God bless you as we listen to the message, Thankfulness Through the Lens of Disappointment.
Every hour of every day. knows each word that I might say. And although there were times I stepped out of His will, I've never been out of His care. I've never been out of His care.
What is the primary, unmistakable will of God for every person in this building? Of course, it's a rhetorical question, but think about it. What is the unmistakable, primary will of God for everybody in the building today? Scripture informs us of the answer. As a matter of fact, Peter said it like this: it is God's will that everyone come to repentance. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ, repent. Come to repent of your sins, and He will come and He will do His work in your life, and you will know what it means to be born again. If you will repent of your sins and have faith in Jesus Christ, you can know what it is to be a child of God before you leave here today. It is the will of God that everyone come to repentance. And then Paul makes the statement that it is not only the will of God that everyone comes to repentance, but that we all be sanctified. You'll find that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. And aren't you glad today that He not only deals with the guilt of sin, but He can also deal with the power of sin in our lives, and we can know what it is to be free from the power of inbred sin. But then I found something else that's the will of God. It's tucked away, again, in the book of Thessalonians. Chapter 5, verse 16. Rejoice always. That's a tough one. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Be in an attitude of prayer continually. And here it is. Give thanks. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. If you have your Bibles today, turn with me to the Old Testament book of Exodus. And we're going to talk about giving thanks. Thankfulness through the lens of disappointment. Exodus chapter 14, we know the background, we know what is going on. The children of Israel have been in Egyptian bondage for 430 years. And now Moses has been taken from the backside of the Midian desert down into the heart of Egypt to be used of God to lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. And now after the plagues have happened and they've made the first part of their journey, they come to their very first obstacle, the Red Sea. And as they stand there along the banks of the Red Sea, they begin to complain and murmur to Moses. And if you know their story, you know that the Israelites were very good at complaining. And they said, were there not enough graves in Egypt that we should have to die here on the banks of the Red Sea? Pharaoh's army was fast approaching from the rear. Moses stretches forth his rod. And we pick up the story in verse 21. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on the right and on their left. Turn one chapter later, Exodus chapter 15, verse 22. Their story continues. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter or poisonous. That's why the place is called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, What are we to drink? Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink. Turn to Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1, verse 19. Speaking of Naomi and Ruth. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full. The Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. With that as our background, I want to ask you another question. Who in this service this morning has not at some point in your life had to deal with disappointment? I don't think there's a person in this sanctuary today that has not had to deal with the debilitating effects of disappointment. Granted, some disappointments are greater than others, but great or small, they all have an emotional impact upon us. Edith Schaeffer, the wife of the renowned author Francis Schaeffer, wrote her own book titled Affliction. The premise of the book was simply this: every affliction falls into one of two categories, either too much of something or too little of something. Did you notice the contrast here in the passage of scripture that we read in your hearing this morning? Exodus chapter 14 and 15. Did you notice how on the one hand there was too much water? There was no way to get to the other side. There were no boats. There was not a bridge that they could use to traverse the Red Sea. There was just too much water. But then 3 days later, they find themselves in the desert of Shur, and there is water, but the Bible tells us that it was poisonous. Could not drink it. So on the one hand, there was too much water, and on the other hand, too little water. Too much, too little. Here's the proposition of the sermon for you this morning. We serve a God who can not only change our circumstances, but we also serve a God who can give grace to sustain us in the midst of our circumstances. I have discovered this in my years in ministry. And one of the great prohibitives for many Christians in living a productive, victorious Christian life is that they have settled for a one-dimensional God. You say, "Lee, what do you mean by that?" Well, they only want a God who'll change their circumstance. Make my life better. Give me more money. Give me a better job. Take care of this relationship that's bad. Change my circumstance. And don't get me wrong this morning. I believe in a God who can do just that. He did it for the children of Israel there on the banks of the Red Sea. I believe in a God who can insulate three Hebrew children when they're thrown into a burning fiery furnace and they come out without even the hair on their head singed and there was not even the smell of smoke on their body. I believe in a God who can give lions lockjaw so that one of his servants can get a good night's rest in a lion's den. I believe in a God who can do the miraculous, but I also believe in a God who can sustain us when we go through the disappointments of life. A multidimensional God who meets us on more than one plane. Sometimes, obviously, he is the God who parts the waters of the Red Sea. Circumstances are changed. We get from one side to the other. However, other times, he doesn't change the circumstance. But he does give us grace in the midst of the disappointment. Consider the Apostle Paul. Was he not a great man of faith? Of course he was. He did mighty works for God. He traversed the known world of his day, sharing the gospel message. I mean, he saw the miraculous hand of God on more than one occasion. You remember the story, perhaps, about one night he was preaching and he got a little bit long-winded, and there was a young man by the name of Eutychus sitting in the window of the room where he was preaching, and Eutychus fell asleep and fell out of the window and crashed to the pavement below and was killed on impact, and he laid himself across the lad and life came back into that lad's body. Paul had seen the miraculous hand of God on more than one occasion. But yet we also know that Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Three times he petitioned God to remove the thorn from his body. But every time God said, no. Have you ever wondered what the thorn was? I have. I had a college professor in Bible school who suggested that it was bad eyesight. In writing the letter to the church at Galatia, in the 5th chapter, I think it is, he makes just a simple passing comment. He says, see how large the letters are with which I write. And so we speculate maybe he couldn't see well. Someone suggested, well, he went against his own advice, even though it's not written in the Word of God, and he got married, and his wife was his thorn. We probably shouldn't go there today. I'm a man who serves on my ministry board. He and I were discussing this whole business of whether or not physical healing is in the atonement. And he and I differ at that point. And he said that he believed that healing was in the atonement. I said, well, I don't think it is, because if it was in the atonement, then everybody that can be saved and everybody can be saved, then everybody that's sick can be healed if healing is in the atonement. And we talked about that for a while. And I said, what about the Apostle Paul? And he said, well, I don't think it. His thorn was physical in nature. He said, I think it was psychological. He said, I think Paul was asking God to remove from his memory all of those that he had persecuted and even put to death who professed to be Christian. Interesting speculation. But fact of the matter is, we don't know what Paul's thorn was, but we do know this, that when God said to him three times, no, Paul, I'm not going to heal you. You're going to have to trust me on this. But Paul, I will give you grace. And Paul did write that. He said, his grace is sufficient for me. Amen. You see, the God who gives the miracle and parts the waters of the Red Sea is the same God who stands with us as we look into the poisonous waters of life, wondering how we're going to get through this next disappointment in life. There are times when God is already working out the solution before we ever bring the problem to him. And it's provided and we get through it and we praise God and everything is good. But there are other times when God says, I love you, my compassion is very real for you, but right now you're going to have to trust me on this. Just trust me here. If Israel had just learned after passing through the Red Sea, if they just learned, hey, when they came to the waters of Marah and they were bitter, they couldn't drink it. If they'd have just had a meeting. Well, didn't God part the waters of the Red Sea? Change the circumstances then. If he did that then, poisonous water, it's minuscule for God. Nothing to changing bitter water to potable water. But what did they do? They murmured. They complained again. I know I'm stating the obvious this morning. There will be disappointments in your life. Disappointments with family members. Disappointments down on the job. Disappointments here at the church. Dare I even suggest it? Disappointment with God. When he doesn't change your circumstance. So how do you deal with that? How do you deal with disappointments? Remember, thankfulness through the lens of disappointment. Here's the first thing I want you to remember. God is still God in the midst of life's disappointments. God doesn't change. Life may change, and life may throw things in your pathway, and you wonder, how on earth am I going to get through this situation? But God is still God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we must realize, whether in pain or whether in affliction, prosperity, blessing, God is with us, and should He choose not to change our circumstance, His grace will be provided to get us through that circumstance. If you don't get that, there's nothing out there that can replace it. The world has no real good answer for helping you and me get through the disappointments of life.
Thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. I do hope you'll find a place to worship. And if you live near any of the following churches, I know you would be welcome. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church, Willow Springs, or Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity. Here in the state of Indiana, where this program is produced, in the city of Columbus, Indiana, I know you would be welcome at Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, or Flintwood Wesleyan Church. And in the state of Ohio, I know you would be welcome in the city of Fosteria, Ohio, at Trinity United Brethren Church. Hope you'll take time to write us a letter of support. It would mean so much. You could write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or PayPal tag there. Hope you'll tune in next week at this same time. And in the meantime, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.